Welcome back to the Galveston Experience Podcast, episode number 108, produced at the Seawall Studios of RadioGalveston.com. This time around, we're going to be learning how you can go out to eat and help our educational system here in Galveston. It is kind of a win-win-win all the way around. But before we get to Mike Dudas and the Scuttlebutt, we'll talk a little bit about the holiday season. Of course, it is the spooky time of the year, Halloween, and we've got some special stuff going on at the Galveston Experience Company. We launched that new Galveston Ghost Hunt, which you can find at galvestonghosthunt.com, but it's perfect for our social distancing climate that we're in right now, where you can go around and learn with an app-based adventure, learn about Galveston's history, and visit some of the most historic and haunted places on the island. Collect your ghosts and come back and get some good stuff when you return to the Galveston Experience Company here at 15th and Seawall. And we also got something else cooking. Can't really talk about it just yet, but if you stay tuned to RadioGalveston.com or just check out the website, you will be able to find out how you can win some pretty cool stuff with like almost no effort on your part, just having to kind of check your memory banks. And we won't say any more about that. Instead, let's talk about the Galveston Educational Foundation and something they've done now. This is their fifth year. They're out to eat for education. It's a great cause. And now let's get the scuttlebutt on that from Mike Dudas.
I am Mike Dudas, and my guest on this edition of the podcast is Brittany Vegas, who's going to give us all the scuttlebutt on one of the community's favorite nonprofits, the Galveston Educational Foundation. Brittany, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I understand that you have a very popular fundraiser coming up. Tell us about that.
Our fall fundraiser for the Galveston ISD Educational Foundation is called Out to Eat for Education. This is going to be our fifth year, and it looks a little different this year. Because of the pandemic, we know that our restaurant owners and small businesses have really been hit hard. So unlike other years where we do a big push to get the community to go out to eat, and in return the restaurants give us a percentage of their sales, this year we're still going to do that big push, encourage the community to go out to eat, but we're not requiring the restaurants to give us a donation in exchange for that promotion. So instead, we're hoping that the community will continue to go out to eat and remember to tip, if you will, the GEF. So we know that we may not raise as much money as we typically do from this event, but instead of having Out to Eat for Education for one day, we extended it to the entire homecoming week of Fall High, which is October 19th through 23rd. So we want our community to go out to eat as much as possible, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, those 5 days, 19th through 23rd. We want to fill our restaurants. We want to show that Fall High and GISD pride. And again, we just want to show support for those restaurants and businesses that have supported us for the last 4 years.
And the list of restaurants, it's not a short list, it's a very long list.
Yeah, we have so many supporters. A lot of, it seems to grow every year. More and more restaurants sign up for it. They see the promotion we're putting out. You know, we hit it hard on social media. We do ads in the newspaper, posters around town, and restaurants see it and see that their restaurants are filled on a weeknight in October when typically it's pretty slow. So it's a win-win for everyone. It does continue to grow each year.
Now let's talk about, you've raised this money, and what does the Educational Foundation do with it? So I guess to get started, tell us about what is the Galveston Educational Foundation?
So we are a 501c3 nonprofit that exists solely to support GISD. So all of our funding goes to the district. We kind of bridge the gap between the money that we send back to the state through Robinhood and try to help recoup some of those dollars by raising funds privately. So we hold various fundraisers throughout the year. We apply for grants from bigger donors like the Moody Permanent Endowment Fund and the Harris and Eliza Kempner Fund and Dr. Leon Bromberg Charitable Fund, just to name a few. And that money, again, goes all to the district. One of the programs that we fund is called our Grants to Teachers in Schools program. That allows teachers to apply for funds directly to fund projects or materials for their own classroom. So we're actually in a grant cycle right now. We opened our grant cycle August 24th, and teachers have until October 15th to apply. A teacher can apply as an individual for up to $2,000 for his or her classroom. They can join a team of teachers and apply for up to $5,000, or a school can apply for up to $8,000. And sometimes we do award more than that. We have a volunteer board of directors. 8 of those board of directors sit on our grants committee, and then we have 2 community members on that grants committee as well. And we sit down and go through every single application. I'm not a voting member of that committee, so I'm a great tool and a resource for those teachers who have questions. I'm able to talk them through the application. I actually host workshops that kind of explains the whole grant process, especially for those new teachers who've never applied before. So in that review meeting, we spend about 3 hours looking at each and every grant, and the committee votes on which ones to fund. And our goal each year is to fund around $150,000 in grants to teachers. Again, that is all money that is going to Galveston ISD teachers. And some years we award more than that. And I can tell you our board this year is very eager to read those applications. They know that they're going to be creative and innovative, because we're in an environment that no one's ever been in. Our teachers have never taught like this, and our students have never learned like this. So we can't wait to see what those applications look like, and I know that they are going to want to award as many of those as possible.
And from what I understand, teachers are asked for funding for project, ask for the extraordinary and the out of ordinary, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the more creative, the better. We do ask them to classify the projects in 1 of 4 areas. So we have early literacy, high school readiness, college, career, military readiness. And if you don't fall into one of those categories, then we have an innovative category. So we see projects all across the board. Historically, we've funded everything from musical instruments and PE equipment to STEM kit to lighting for an auditorium. I mean, all across the board, the committee just loves giving this money away. And so we just need teachers to apply. And the more applications we can review, the better. And again, this is a year that they don't want to skimp on funding. They want to award as many of these as possible. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went over budget and awarded even more than they planned to.
So therefore, teachers are asking for funding on for projects that are normally not funded by the district for their classrooms, correct?
Exactly, yes. This is, again, just trying to fill the need, fill the gaps. You know, the district can only provide, you know, the basic necessities. So we're here to help fund those more out-of-the-box ideas, or just those tools and resources that teachers need for their classrooms. We don't want them spending their own money out of pocket. We want them to come to the GEF and ask us to help them. So that, at the end of the day, it's all about the students. We want our students. We want to enrich their educational experience. We want to prepare them for the future. And we just want to make sure that our Galveston students are getting everything that they deserve and more.
Now, I believe you're starting your second big grant cycle with the foundation. Tell us about your first year, some of the surprises that you discovered, and some of the big projects that under your watch that were funded.
It is interesting being in that room for the review, the grant review. Again, I'm not a voting member, so I get to help present the grants and go over the applications, and then I just sit back and listen to what our committee thinks. Last year, a big priority for them was curriculum-based grants. They wanted to make sure to fund as many of those as possible, that those being actual literacy materials and math manipulatives and things that really tied to curriculum as much as possible. The year before that, I'm told that they really prioritized green projects. So last year, there were some green projects that were requested that didn't get funded, and I'm sure those teachers were surprised because they probably saw the year before that all the green projects that were awarded. And it's really interesting to see how the priorities change for the committee each year. We switch up the members. We have different board members who sit on it. We invite 2 new community members to sit on it each year. So the funding priorities change. And, you know, one example this year, we know there's a need for bottle filling stations at the schools. Water is an issue. It's a critical need. We can't use water fountains in our schools. And we know that some of our campuses have done all calls to the neighborhood asking for bottled water donations. So whereas last year they may not have funded a bottle filling station, this year I can tell you they absolutely would.
Tell me about how you assist teachers with the actual filling out the grant paperwork.
So I host a couple of workshops. This year they were, of course, virtual via Zoom. We start by reviewing our grant guidelines page, which is actually a requirement on the application. So at the end of the workshop, I tell them, your application's already started. You can check that box that you reviewed the guidelines. So we go over the guidelines, which discusses the different areas of focus that our committee wants to fund in terms of the early literacy, high school readiness, college career readiness, and innovation. We walk through an entire application, and then I show them example answers to questions from previous award winners. What better way to walk them through the application than showing them applications that were awarded? So we go through the questions, I show them examples of previous grants that were awarded, and then we walk through the budget, because they actually need to fill out a budget that shows us they've done their research, they're ready to purchase it. Our goal is when we award these funds and we give them their check, they are ready to go purchase these items and add to cart and get them in their classrooms as quickly as possible. So we ask them to do that background research, find out how much it's going to cost to the penny, shipping included. Of course, sometimes that changes. Sometimes items sell out of stock. We understand that. But we want to have a really good idea of how much they're asking for. And then they work with their campus secretary if the grants are awarded, and they're able to spend those funds the very next day.
And from what I understand, visuals are very helpful to include in the grant application.
Yeah, there's actually a section at the very end where you can attach up to 5 attachments. And I always tell them research that backs your project, pictures, anything that you can visually show the grants committee will help your case.
Also, I understand that once the committee decides on the grant award, that's kept a tight secret and groups go around and surprise teachers.
Yeah, so we're going to have to get creative this year. Typically, we have a prize parade. We invite our board members, our volunteers, our donors, our Ball High cheerleaders, our band, our Tournettes. Tuffy comes. We all jump on a bus. We have some of your media art students videoing it. What a presence. We bust into the schools with the band playing. We have a giant check, and we burst into the classrooms and surprise the teachers, and they have no idea that we're coming. Obviously, we're not going to be able to do that this year. With the pandemic, we don't think it's a good idea to go in person from school to school and class to class. So we're going to be trying to get creative. I've seen some things that other Ed Foundations have done, and so we have some ideas. And part of it might be a surprise, so I don't want to spoil it, but it will be something fun, but something virtual.
How would you compare our local educational foundation to other school district educational foundations?
Well, it's interesting. I'm in a group called the Greater Houston Area Association of Education Foundations, and it is a wonderful group. Everyone contributes, shares ideas, talks about what works for them, what doesn't work for them. And me being new to the position, I'm going into my second year, I really value it because it gives me great ideas. I'm able to go back to my board and say, guess what this foundation's doing? They implemented this new program and they saw their participation for their employee giving campaign increase to 92% giving. So just, I would say compared to others, we're in a really great position. We have a lot of great local foundations and nonprofits and organizations that support us. So we're very lucky and we're very blessed, even though we're not maybe as big in size as some of those other school districts where those Ed foundations are funding. We compete pretty closely in terms of the amount that we receive, even though we have a lot less students. And again, that's important because under the Robin Hood plan, we send back upwards of $20 million back to the state every year, whereas those other school districts, those other foundations that I'm talking to, their schools don't. So we're a very unique district. We have a lot of support, but again, we have a big gap to fill.
In the minute we have left, tell everyone where they can contact you for further information, the website, Facebook, et cetera.
Yes, our website is galvestonedfoundation.org. We have a Facebook, facebook.com/GalvestonEdFoundation. We have an Instagram, Galveston Ed Foundation. And you can certainly email me anytime, foundation@gisd.org.
And tell us one more time about the Out to Eat for Education event.
It's going to be October 19th through 23rd. This is our fifth annual Out to Eat for Education, and we want our community to fill the Galveston restaurant for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for these 5 days of Fall High Homecoming Week, October 19th through 23rd. And because of the pandemic, we are not asking the restaurant for donations. Instead, our hope is that our community will step up, even if it's just $5, $10, $20, and just remember to tip the GEF when they go out to eat for education.
My guest on this edition of the podcast has been Brittany Vegas from the Galveston Educational Foundation. If you would like to be a guest on a future podcast and give us all the scuttlebutt on your business or organization, drop us a line right here at RadioGalveston.com.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Brittany. And let's all get out and do a win-win-win for everybody. Our restaurants who've been struggling through these hard times, for the Galveston Educational Foundation, and of course for your belly. We got some great restaurants participating in this Out to Eat for Education. And to find more about that, just check the Scuttlebutt page at RadioGalveston.com. We'll have a link to all the appropriate resources. If you're not lucky enough to be in Galveston, you need to get to Galveston. October, absolutely one of the best months on the island, one of my absolute favorites. So get on down here. If you know somebody you think would be a good guest on a future podcast, get a hold of us. And if you have enjoyed the podcast, make sure you give us those lovely 5-star reviews if you think we deserve it. And subscribe so you will be notified when we release the next edition. So hopefully we'll see you on one of our tours. Maybe on the Galveston Ghost Hunt up and down the seawall, maybe at our place right there at 15th and Seawall. If nothing else, we'll be looking for you right here next time on the Galveston Experience Podcast.